Hello and welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and a bit of absurdity. Hoping that you and yours are well wherever and whenever you may be listening, whether it's on Facebook Live. That feed happens every weekday morning at 8 a.m. Central. Or via the podcast, which is available all the time, wherever fine podcasts are available. It is the Tuesday edition of the show, the 23rd day of June, 2020. And it's a bizarre world we live in. I'm a little distracted. I'm actually searching for something on social media while my mouth runs. Because I saw this thing. Somebody I know posted something to Facebook by AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, which is supposedly, let me look back here, it's supposedly from very recently, Friday. Actually, yeah, it's May of 2020, and I'm scanning back through her tweets, trying to find that particular day to see if it really is her, because there's so much stuff that's just manufactured, you know. People just put junk together and attribute it to people, and then post it online to demonize them. And that happens on both sides of the, on both sides of the aisle. That does happen, because, some people aren't satisfied that there's enough insanity coming from the left just on its own. And they have to produce more. And it happens, as I said, on both sides. And I see enough of it in my life of addiction to the news. Hi, my name is Mark. I'm addicted to the news. And I just feel like I need to double check it. And I'm scanning back here, and I'll scan and scan and scan and scan and scan, and then it stops and reloads more as I dig further back into the past. And let's see, when was that supposed to be? That was the 20th, May 20th. So I've made it back to May 31st, so bear with me for a moment. Anyway, I'll just read you what this says, and it's attributed to her. And it says, it's vital that governors maintain restrictions on businesses until after the November elections, because economic recovery will help Trump be reelected. A few business closures or job losses is a small price to pay to be free from his presidency. And it looks like hers, but I can't be sure until I actually see it for myself. And I may have to put that off until we get into the first break, and then I'll keep scanning backwards. But I'm so close now. But we're watching a lot of insanity happen in our nation today. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of that insanity. And hopefully we can get a clearer picture in our own minds. And I know that it's disheartening sometimes to watch the news. It's depressing to watch the news. Actually, I was watching... This morning, I was watching those two girls, Chicks on the Right. I was watching their morning. They do a Facebook Live every morning for about half an hour at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. And one of them was saying that watching the news was just depressing. She was getting depressed watching what was going on. And I got to be honest with you. I think that's by design. I think that is, there is an intent behind that. And by the way, I just got to May 20th in AOC's timeline, and that tweet is not there. But that could also mean somebody said, "Did you really just post that?" And she deleted it. Could very well have had. I don't know. You can't delete your tweet. Well, you can delete tweets. But I think it is intentional. I think that we are being fed a lot of disinformation. We're being fed a lot of negative news. And, of course, the news media is going after the most sensational thing they can. And what's the most sensational stuff right now is crazed people pulling statues down. That's what is the most crazed thing, the most sensational thing in the news right now. And that's what happened last night in D.C., in Washington, D.C., as a bunch of radical leftists sought to tear down the statue of Andrew Jackson, by the way, the first Democrat president, because, of course, slaves and the way he treated Native Americans. He was the first Democrat president. This is lost on most of them. They don't care, and they don't understand. They don't know because they haven't been taught history. They've been taught progressive opinions of history, not actual history. If you actually go back and look at history, you'll see that even though there were certain things about those among us who were our leaders in early days for this country that we look back on with our current sensibilities, there are things about them that we don't like. When taken into context, we realize why they were considered great people. But context is necessary. Context is important. And that's what's missing in the conversation today. Did I just use the word conversation? It's not a conversation. Who am I kidding? It's not a conversation. It's one-sided. It's like the white chicks screaming at the cops last night in Washington, D.C. Scream, 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 scream. That's how it is. And you know that's true. If you have tried to have a rational conversation with some leftist on social media, there is no rational conversation. There is none. And please don't make the mistake that this is about, any of this is about George Floyd. Don't make the mistake that any of this is about Trayvon Martin. Don't make the mistake that any of this is about anybody or anything to do with black lives. It has nothing to do with that. I told you at the beginning, none of this had to do anything with George Floyd. It was all about a movement seeing an opportunity and Democrats in political power letting it happen. That's what's going on right now. It's insane. It's crazy. It's destructive, but destruction is what the Democrats want because they want to be able to blame it all on Donald Trump. This is all about power and control. That's what it's all about, and it's nuts. And how far has it gone? Well, you know, I like to tell you, I like to bring you something absurd, if I can, towards the beginning of the program. And I found something.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Yep, it's got to be.
End of the world as we know it.
The world as we know it is coming to an end right in front of our eyes. An American academic has criticized an iconic character. An iconic character for you and your children. For projecting racial stereotypes. Because this iconic character wore blackface in a scene from the movie about this character. Who is it? Mary Poppins. Yep. An American academic has criticized Mary Poppins for projecting racial stereotypes, saying Dame Julie Andrews' character wears blackface during one of the scenes in the movie. Writing for the New York Times, where else? Professor Daniel Pollack Pelsner, a gender studies professor at Linfield College in Oregon. Gender studies professor. Gender studies. So what's your degree in gender studies? What do you expect to do for our company? Free all the women from oppression here? Next! He sharply criticizes the scene where Mary Poppins joins Dick Van Dyke's chimney sweep character, Bert, for a dance on a rooftop. They both get covered in soot as the dance number Step in Time is performed. And Professor Pollack Pelsner says that while the scene may be comic, the author of the Mary Poppins books, P.L. Travers, often associated chimney sweeps' blackened faces with racial caricatures. Now, just for a moment of clarification, P.L. Travers was a piece of work. She was a decidedly unhappy person, and she inflicted her unhappiness on everyone who happened to get within reach. And her unhappiness really knew no bounds. So I get it that she might have been offensive to certain groups of people. I can see that happening. You should rent the movie Saving Mr. Banks. Saving Mr. Banks. It's the story of the making of this particular film and what it was really all about. They took a lot of artistic license, but people who actually worked in the offices of Walt Disney Studios at the time said, and these are the words they used, when she was there, it was like someone had died. That's how tense everything and how sad everything was while she was there. Everyone was walking on eggshells. Everybody was upset. That's the kind of effect she had on the people around her. Now, the good professor points to one scene in Mary Poppins, opens the door, which is a book which has nothing to do with the movie. This is not the movie. In which a sweep reaches out to a woman with his darkened hand, to which she replies, "Don't touch me, you black heathen." Later, the sweep approaches a cook who uses the slur for black South Africans, Hottentot, to describe the character. Can I just say this? When I was a kid, the words Hottentot was not a slur. It was a nickname. It wasn't a slur. Those who say it's a slur are people who are offended by everything. That's horrible! Well, Pollock Pelsner writes, "The 1964 film replays this racial panic in a farcical key. When the dark figures of the chimney sweeps step in time on a roof, a naval buffoon, Admiral Boom," you remember the next door neighbor who had the cannon on his roof? Yeah, that guy, "shouts, 'We're being attacked by Hottentots,' and orders his cannon to be fired at the cheeky devils. We're in on the joke, such as it is. These aren't really black Africans. They're grinning white dancers in blackface. It's a parody of Black Menace. It's even posted on a white nationalist website as evidence of the film's racial hierarchy." Wow, really? So now we're going to take the word of white nationalists? Yeah, there's so many of those you could put them in a minivan. All of them. I mean, come on. When they have a convention, they all meet on the bus. There's so few of them. This is how serious we have to be about this. Well, after this article appeared online, many fans of the films responded vehemently. One person calling the piece ridiculous. Another calling it manufactured controversy. Pollock Pelsner responded with a post, which says, "The chief reason I wrote this article was the hope that a Disney exec would read it, take another look at the forthcoming Dumbo remake." So this is how far back this goes, because Dumbo's been out for a while. "And ask if there was anything just a little bit racist they might want to rethink before it hits the big screen. Here's one thing I've learned about the alt-right. After I wrote this article and received a zillion hate messages in response, they sure like Mary Poppins." So this weasel believes everyone who disagrees with him is a member of the alt-right. So he's putting you, if you and your family enjoyed the Mary Poppins books, if you and your family enjoyed the Mary Poppins movies, if you and your family enjoyed Mary Poppins and like Mary Poppins, then you're a white supremacist and a member of the alt-right. And that, ladies and gentlemen, as far as I'm concerned, is absolutely absurd. Yep. Even Mary Poppins is not safe from the criticism of the loony leftists. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we do. Here's what we do. We point these idiots out, like this professor, the good professor. Oh, my word. Professor Daniel Pollock Pelsner, the gender studies professor at Linfield College in Oregon. When they make these idiotic statements, we point at them and we laugh. Because they're so disconnected from reality that they don't really understand life as you and I know it. They don't understand the real world around them. They see everything through the twisted lens of progressivism. which paints everything except its own ideology as somehow evil, uninformed, ignorant, and racist. So, Professor Daniel Pollack Pelsner, the gender study professor at Linfield College in Oregon, is an idiot. He clearly needed some help from a gifted nanny when he was a child to see the world around him in the proper light. Yep, I'm saying he could have used some help from Mary Poppins.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Well, like that's the first time I've heard that. It's the Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast, the 23rd day of June, 2020. Hi, how you? I hope you're doing well. And that you are keeping a realistic perspective on things, because we're being fed a lot of weird information. And most of it's not so. Hey, yesterday was a... yesterday was a day, I tell you. Remember I told you yesterday I had this list of things to get accomplished this week? Well, the first item is done. That first item was to replace the brake pads on the family truckster. And so I spent, I don't know, I probably spent around 3 hours maybe around that doing it. And if you are the kind of guy like I am who dives into a project and discovers in midstream, rut-row, I need this to get this done and I don't have it, or that something is not working the way it is supposed to and you've got to come up with a solution, that was my day yesterday. So I finally got the special tool in, and I know I told you about this. I had to have a special tool to take the rear to readjust the rear calipers on the family truckster, and I didn't have that. Didn't know I needed it until I tore into it last week. Actually, it was the week before, and it took a while for the tool to get here. I don't know if I told you about that. It was missing in action. It was lost. Amazon said, sorry, it's late, and there was no tracking. and it was... this is what happens whenever the U.S. Postal Service is involved, because it was shipped via UPS, but UPS has a special arrangement with the U.S. Postal Service for deliveries. And at some point along, by the way, when that happens, the tracking doesn't work. It's been my experience. You never know where it is. You never know how long it's going to be. You never know. You just don't know anything about it. And that was the case for this. And I eventually, after waiting way, way longer than it was supposed to be, than when it was supposed to be delivered, I finally got the message from Amazon. You can claim a refund for these items, because there was three different items in this particular shipment. You can claim a refund for these items. It's been too long. So I did. I claimed a refund for the items and then reordered them. And the next morning it showed up on my doorstep. and so I canceled the orders. Actually, it was that day. I canceled the orders that morning, and in the mail that day, they showed up. And so I went back and canceled those orders very quickly. So I ended up getting the tool I needed for free, which is kind of cool. Anyway, it worked perfectly. Everything is hunky-dory. And we did a little driving last night, had some things to do, and all is working well. But it's one of those things where, yikes, it's just something that should have been snap, 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 get it done, ended up taking way longer than it should have. But that's the way things work whenever I do something around the house. I just don't know why it is. Well, rioters in Washington, D.C., who should have been home working on the brakes on their cars, tried to tear down a statue of former President Andrew Jackson near the White House yesterday, while others set up a new autonomous zone nearby. The attack on the Jackson statue comes after rioters have destroyed other presidential statues, including George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Ulysses S. Grant. On Sunday, the American Museum of Natural Natural History in New York announced they would be removing their statue of Theodore Roosevelt. That thing has been there. That statue has been there for longer than you've been alive. It's been there for a long, long time. Teddy Roosevelt was once America's most popular president. For a long time, he was. But because people are ignorant, they haven't been taught history. They've just been taught progressive opinions of history. They've got to remove Theodore Roosevelt. Daily Caller reporter Shelby Talcott was on the scene, took some videos of the rioters trying to destroy the statues. As law enforcement officials arrived on the scene to stop the destruction of the property. And if you get the show notes today, I've got the video clips are all included in this. Not far away from the statue, protesters had pushed construction barriers and sections of metal fence into the street, into the area, to create some roadblocks. Someone had posted a sign, spray painted on plywood, BHAZ, Black House Autonomous Zone. So instead of White House, it's Black House. Get it? BHAZ, Black House Autonomous Zone. A New York Post reporter Ebony Bowden tweeted a video showing the area, and she writes, looks like another autonomous zone is springing up, this one outside the White House. Protesters are fortifying barricades in what they're calling BHAZ, Black House Autonomous Zone. Wonder how long President Trump will allow this to last on his doorstep. On Friday, President Donald Trump called out Washington, D.C. Democrat Mayor Muriel Bowser after rioters destroyed a statue of Confederate General Albert Pike in the Judiciary Square. Quote, the D.C. police are not doing their job as they watch a statue be ripped down and burned. Trump tweeted, these people should be immediately arrested. A disgrace to our country. I think Albert Pike was the Confederate general who actually defected and worked for the North to help free the slaves. But they wouldn't know about that because they're all ignoramuses. Washington Post columnist Henry Olson wrote yesterday, the United States' frenzy of statuary iconoclasm has taken a turn into the theater of the absurd. Knocking down or defacing statues of national founders or heroes not only displays ignorance of history, but also assaults the principles of Western civilization that allow for racial progress to continue. Protesters who tear down statues to brave warriors who fought to more fully implement that principle mock and dishonor the idea that enables us to become a more perfect union. George Washington owned slaves, but he also founded a nation dedicated to the idea whose incompatibility with slavery made its eradication inevitable. Defacing or toppling his monuments dishonors the country. More than any man save Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant destroyed the Confederacy with his magisterial generalship. As president, he tried to extend the Civil War's purpose by presiding over the reconstruction of the South, an effort that was abandoned only after he left office. Toppling his statue, as protesters did in San Francisco, citing a slave whom Grant was gifted and later freed before the war, is historically ludicrous. Even the far-left New York Times columnist Paul Krugman, who's never right about anything, called out what was going on. He tweeted, as it happens, here's the book I started reading a few days ago. I've long been a Grant groupie. He was imperfect, but without him, there would have been no emancipation. And he fought the Klan. Leave his statues alone. So these ignorant people, these people who have been brainwashed and programmed by the progressive left, the Marxists, are destroying parts of their history which support their cause. But it doesn't matter, because the tearing down of the statues is one of the steps Marxists always take when they're trying to take over a nation. Go look at the history. As recently as 20 years ago, go look at Venezuela. In Venezuela, they went around and they tore down all the statues. They wiped the history away. The same thing happened in Cuba and every other nation which has fallen to Marxists. They destroy the history. First, they brainwash the young. They lie to them about the history of their nation. And then they wipe it clean. And then everyone who disagrees is punished. Do a little history research. You'll find it's true. Well, early this morning, President Donald Trump announced that he has authorized the federal government to arrest anyone who vandalizes statues or monuments on federal property. The announcement from the president comes after rioters have destroyed numerous statues of former presidents in recent days. Quote, I've authorized the federal government to arrest anyone who vandalizes or destroys any monument, statue, or other such federal property in the U.S. with up to 10 years in prison, per the Veterans Memorial Preservation Act, or such other laws that may be pertinent. This action is taken effective immediately, but may also be used retroactively for destruction or vandalism already caused. There will be no exceptions. So, all of these geniuses who proudly shot cell phone video and posted it online of their buddies tearing down a statue have given the federal authorities what they need. Faces. And ways to identify people. People who will be fined and possibly sent to prison for 10 years. They're violent. They're misinformed. They're passionate. But they're not very bright. The internet is forever. And a lot of people could be going to jail because they chose to believe the lies of the Marxist left. Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. The folks over at Occupy Democrats Logic, not Occupy Democrats, those guys are idiots, but the guys at Occupy Democrats Logic, they just killed me. Here's a recent post. I'm sorry, but if you're still struggling with slavery, I'm still struggling with when the Vikings invaded England in the 8th century and enslaved my relatives. They stole our lands, burned our fields, and assaulted our women. I blame all my current failures on Vikings. Good for you. Oh, you earned a share. That's going over to our page there. Oh, my word. Well, see if I got anything to any housekeeping to tell you about. I don't think so. The schedule is open all week. I don't have any other outside things going on. I know that there are some sessions being scheduled outside for Dawson now that will take me away, but I don't know when those are as yet. I'll let you know as soon as that happens. And I've been talking about trying to get a vacation together. That's still not happening because of Rona. God bless Rona. She's just messing everything up. But the coronavirus is making everything weird. It's tough. It looks like we want to go on a cruise. Jane and I would like to go on a cruise, and it looks like it's going to be October, November, before we can make that happen. And I've been on a Caribbean cruise in October. It's still warm enough to swim. The water's a little cold, but it's still warm enough. It's nice. November's not bad. I actually went on one right around Thanksgiving a few years ago to the Southern Caribbean, and it was still warm enough to enjoy the daytime, and the nights out on deck were fine, and it was really, really strange. I just have to say this before I move forward. It was very, very strange to see the great big inflated, you know, the things with the fans, you inflate them, the big blow-up things, big inflated things, figures of Santa Claus and Christmas trees mixed in with all the palm trees. It was just kind of odd. Because something I don't see every time I think of Christmas. Oh, my. And something else that's odd, ladies and gentlemen.
Everything is racist.
Yeah, Black Lives Matter activist Sean King. He's really not the sharpest knife in the drawer, trust me. Sean King has said, yeah, it's permissible to tear down statues of Jesus Christ that show him with European features because they support white supremacy. Here's what he tweeted yesterday. Yes, I think the statues of the white European they claim is Jesus should also come down. They are a form of white supremacy. Always have been. In the Bible, when the family of Jesus wanted to hide and blend in, guess where they went? Egypt, not Denmark. Tear them down. He, in a second tweet, he said, yes, all murals and stained glass windows of white Jesus and his European mother and their white friends should also come down. They are a gross form of white supremacy, created as tools of oppression, racist propaganda. They should all come down. Sean King has been besieged by accusations from former activist partners and employees that he's been accepting much more money in donations than he is willing to account for publicly. He, of course, has denied the accusations. He also made headlines during the Democrat primary as the campaign surrogate for the presidential campaign of Senator Bernie Sanders after he misrepresented a report by MSNBC's Rachel Maddow, and she responded negatively. So apparently, what is it they call him, Talcum X? Yeah, apparently Talcum X is getting paid a lot of money by somebody. A lot. And he's telling us that statues of Jesus and stained glass images of Jesus, which make him look European or white, should be destroyed because it's racial oppression. It is white supremacy. Sean King is another raging ignoramus who refuses to accept the fact that back when these works of art were commissioned, in the origins of them, the world was not like it is today. That people envisioned Jesus to resemble everybody they knew, not as someone with a darker complexion, with more melanin in their skin, someone from the Middle East. He was envisioned as looking like the guy down the street. And to assign some sort of dark, nefarious quality to that is just a level of actually racist paranoia that should be pointed out, which is what we're doing right here. Sean King's a white guy who has decided to embrace the Black Lives Matter movement and do the male version of the Rachel Dolezal thing. And he's deeply confused, deeply angry, and deeply dishonest. And he's pushing a movement and an organization which is not what it claims to be. Even if they don't claim to be what we assume they aren't what we think they are, or what most people think they are. As I've told you before, you should go to the Black Lives Matter website and read their page about what they believe. It's eye-opening. You should do that today. Because when you see the list of things that they stand for, you'll realize these people hate America and everything it stands for. These people want to destroy the pillars of our American strength, all the way down to the nuclear family. Because the nuclear family, a mom and a dad, a mother and a father, together in a home raising their children, that's a threat to them. And what we're watching now, black people attacking white people. You've seen the video from Macy's where a black man attacks an employee in Macy's, claiming that he used the N-word. The security footage and the audio available clearly shows he didn't. But this guy, much bigger than the employee from Macy's, knocks him down, and while he's on the floor, continues punching him. with the guy begging for help, begging for telling him, I'm sorry, what did I do? I'm sorry. We're seeing this kind of activity go on, fueled and fed by the lies of the organization we know as Black Lives Matter. And a lot of people on the left, Hollywood types, politicians, they're all behind Black Lives Matter. They're insisting that everybody use that phrase. Yes, Black Lives Matter. And they're not acknowledging the fact that Black Lives Matter is a radical leftist organization seeking to destroy the foundation of America. They're also not an authorized charity, not recognized by the IRS. Earlier this month, factcheck.org and PolitiFact confirmed that Black Lives Matter Global Network is not a recognized IRS charity, instead raising their funds through a fiscal sponsor, global nonprofit Thousand Current, which would likely have a legal obligation to make reasonable efforts to ensure that the funds they receive are spent consistent with 501c3 restrictions. Some critics of the group suggest that its financial arrangement blocks full transparency. Well, is anybody surprised? FactCheck.org notes that Act Blue helps to raise funds for Black Lives Matter Global Network by directing donations to Thousand Currents, their fiscal sponsor. Now, we've talked before about Act Blue. Act Blue is a Democrat fundraising arm. The partnership between the network, that is Act Blue, and the nonprofit, formerly the International Development Exchange, was announced in 2016. The nonprofit organization, Thousand Currents, said it would provide fiduciary oversight, financial management, and other administrative services to BLM. An Act Blue spokesperson, Caleb Cade, confirmed to the fact-checking site that donations made through Act Blue go to Thousand Currents for Black Lives Matter. According to Janisha de Rivera, Director of Finance and Administration at Thousand Currents, the foundation has applied to become its own 501c3. That's according to factcheck.org, noting that BLM never returned their request for such a form. They said, we asked the Black Lives Matter group for a copy of its Form 1023, which is used to apply for that designation, but didn't hear back. An IRS spokesperson said copies are only publicly available if the organization is approved for 501c3 status. So they have not been approved. As noted by them, the fact-checking site, fiscal sponsorships are common. They say using a fiscal sponsorship arrangement offers a way for a cause to attract donors even when it's not yet recognized as tax-exempt under the Internal Revenue Code Section 501c3, according to the National Council on Nonprofits. In essence, the fiscal sponsor serves as the administrative home for the cause. Charitable contributions are given to the fiscal sponsor, which then grants them to support the cause. Benjamin Leff, a professor who specializes in nonprofits, told the fact-checking site that based on his general understanding of fiscal sponsorship, both Act Blue Charities and Thousand Currents have a legal obligation to make reasonable efforts to ensure that the funds they receive are spent consistent with 501c3 restrictions. Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch, however, suggested Saturday that the fiscal sponsorship route blocks full transparency, particularly when it comes to its partnership with Act Blue. He says, transparency, he posts this, by the way, so if you want to make a tax-deductible charitable donation directly to Black Lives Matter, you can't. You donate to Act Blue Charities. Act Blue Charities sends this money, allegedly, to another charity, Thousand Currents, which runs BLM as a fiscal sponsorship. You combine this with the fact that one of the founders of BLM confessed that they're trained Marxists, and you begin to see they're not what they say they are.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
When we're dealing with politicians and today's news media, that's pretty much what we're being told, is lots of lies. And sadly, even one network which we came to trust for many years has become very hard to trust. Fox News, they publish things like, they're publishing polling lately, which I find very disappointing. Talking about Biden jumping 12 points ahead of Trump. And they're ignoring things that they should know from their experience working as a, quote, fair and balanced news network. They should know that polling is used to influence public opinion. Doesn't necessarily reflect it, but it is used to influence it. And that there are many reasons for polls not reading accurately. And if you look back to 2016, you see that polling gave all of these progressives in the news media and politics a sense of confidence that was at times revolting. They were smug. They were superior. They were winners. There was no way they could lose all the way up to election night. And then it all started falling apart because the polls were all wrong. And there are many factors that go into that wrongness. One of them being that conservative voters have learned over the years, it's not best to tell pollsters what they're really going to do. Because that gives them a little too much insight into what's really happening and prepares the opposition to do more dirty tricks. And I say more because they're already doing dirty tricks. So let me encourage you that when you're watching the news and you're seeing these, you're watching social media and news sites and you're seeing these stories about Trump being outpolled by Biden, ask yourself, how can this possibly happen? How? Biden's been hiding in his basement for months. He meets with tiny groups of people. When he is on the news, he stumbles. Recently, he repeated the same talking point two or three times within a minute. And it's clear that he is facing some serious issues as far as his mental capacity is concerned. It's just getting worse and worse. And then you look at his history and you realize this man is a compulsive liar. He is a racist. He is the worst possible candidate for president you could imagine at this point in our history. But the progressives are flocking behind him. It was very interesting that he suddenly began surging ahead during the primaries. Remember? He began surging ahead at some point. When everybody thought that Bernie Sanders had the lock on it, all of a sudden, win after win after win after win. It's very curious. Things are not as you assume them to be. Just remember that. The polls, just like in 2016, don't reflect public opinion. Not accurately. Let's get back to tearing down things that we don't like, shall we? I was scanning through things the other day and ran across an article from Louder with Crowder, Stephen Crowder. My wife and I have gotten to where we watch it. He has a live thing every evening. He also has a live thing during the mornings that he does on his YouTube channel. But he only does a portion of it on YouTube and then goes over to the Blaze for subscribers. Because YouTube has demonetized his channel. He can't make money off of it anymore. Because he exposes leftism and progressivism for what it is, and he does so with a laugh, and because the weenies at YouTube and the complainers who give the weenies at YouTube grief don't like the fact that he's saying something besides what they would prefer to believe, every time he goes on, they complain about him. And because of that, he's been in a legal back and forth with YouTube. But in this article on his website at louderwithcrowder.com, Courtney Kirchhoff writes, imagine if Germany purged its records, history books, and museums of the atrocities Hitler committed. Because imagery of starving Jews or mass graves filled with recently gassed men, women, and children was seen as too problematic. Imagine if one day Russia removed every image of Stalin, Lenin, or Marx, if communism was ever seen as the true evil it is. Imagine if Central and South Americans cleared out their museums, streets, and halls depictions of Castro or Che Guevara. Bigger still, what would any of us say if Egypt demolished the pyramids because they were built by slaves? We'd wag our fingers in judgment, if not cry, from the tragedy of losing physical evidence and depictions of history referenced above. Yet today, liberal, mostly white, Americans are advocating we do exactly that. In the past week, a statue of George Washington has been toppled, Christopher Columbus decapitated, the Capitol removed images of former speakers of the House who served in the Confederacy, who happened to be all Democrat. Quaker Oats is washing its brand of the classic Aunt Jemima. Last week, HBO Max removed from its platform the long but classic Gone with the Wind. Before we know it, these same open-minded leftists will demand we tear down or rename the White House. They'll re-up their demand for a new currency which doesn't depict a who's who of dead white guys. Then finally, climax by removing the American flag due to the problematic country for which it stands. All because America's history, like every other country that has existed, contains injustice. History is dirty because human beings are flawed. Yes, flawed is a softer synonym for terrible. Cleansing reminders of history from our present isn't improving the history itself, but it is committing the ultimate human mistake, making it possible, nay, probable, that history will repeat itself. How are we to learn from our mistakes if we've erased them? Let me wax philosophical for a second. Every person who has ever existed has experienced some kind of turmoil. Every person who's overcome their personal turmoils has a greater appreciation for that, which is good, and can look at him or herself with a sense of pride for overcoming that which challenged them. Yes, American slavery was an evil America engaged in, with eyes wide open. But America also ended slavery. Isn't that worth celebrating? We cannot laud the heroes of the abolition movement without remembering what it is they sought to abolish. Yes, America has a racist past, but it also ushered in the civil rights movement. How can we honor figures like Martin Luther King Jr. without reading of Jim Crow? How can we, in 2020, understand the challenges of Black Americans faced if we remove every single racist depiction that was made of them before our culture made a correction? There are no heroes without villains. There is no triumph without turmoil. No light without darkness. Hindsight is 2020. We repeat that axiom for a reason. It is stupid to apply 2020 standards to any year prior. Learning from our mistakes is growth. Erasing all evidence of those mistakes for any reason at all not only devalues the accomplishments of great men and women of the past, it excuses the acts of evil of its villains. Our monuments, our statues, murals, portraits, and writings of men and women of history are windows into our past. It is flawed, but it is ours. What America was then shaped what America is now. What America is now will shape what America will become. We cannot explain or even be proud of, yes, proud of, who we are now if we cannot look back and see who we used to be. Progress is best gauged by looking back, surveying the highs and the lows, studying the struggles and the tragedies, reveling in the triumphs. History matters. All history matters. And that's by Courtney Kirchhoff over at louderwithcrowder.com. It's called Purging History. Purging History isn't woke. It's stupid. Dangerously stupid. He said it very well. I couldn't say it better myself. Just remember that when a regime comes in and starts to erase the history of your nation, they're not up to good. Just look at what the Islamists did everywhere they've been. Destroying the religious statues, destroying things that remind people of their past. They're not coming in for good. They're coming in to wipe out culture and turn it upside down and change it into their own. And that's what's happening in America today as Marxists seek to destroy our culture and turn it upside down. That's all for today. Have a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.